Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 28. We're talking about missions. This month, we're praying about giving to Lottie Moon, and I hope you will pray, and I hope you will seek God's face, that you will give towards that, that we might continue to see missionaries go out into the world. Last night, about 8:30, I got to speak before the people in China. My son had asked me if I would bring a devotional. They started off church last night, okay? Tonight is their tomorrow. And they had church last night at 8:30. Our time and their time is Sunday morning, about 9:30. So he'd asked me if I'd come and bring a devotional. Boy, and my, you know, it's not like, he says, now, Daddy, you can't say Bible. You can't say missionary. He put it B word, M word. I said, ministry? Can't say ministry? And he said, missionary. Missionary. Oh, okay, all right. And you know what? The first thing I said, turn, if you will, in your Bibles. I hope he doesn't get in a lot of trouble. I thought about that last night. I said, man, I hope he's not in jail now. But evidently he made it all right because he wrote me a letter this morning and said, how stupid can you get? No, my son is a good son. He would never say that. He said, Daddy, we appreciate you. The people there enjoyed it. And nothing was ever brought up about the Bible. So, I think I said it twice. You know when you don't want to say something, it's on your mind? If he had never said anything, it would have been great. I'm confessing all my sin to you, you see. If he had never said nothing, I probably would never use that word Bible, but when you're thinking about it, you naturally, man, it just comes off. And when you preach about the Bible every week and read it, it's naturally on your mind. But we enjoyed it. I had a great time. Don, you got a person over there that looks kind of like you. I thought when he come on television, they're showing that on television over. I said, there's Don. What's he doing there? And Rhonda said, you reckon he's got a twin? I said, I don't know, but he's in China. You're not a Chinese. You're a missionary over there. So you're over there, whether you believe it or not. And I thought about that, and they had all the people gathered around there, and I was giving a devotional, encouraging them to keep fighting the fight and winning the battle. And that was good. And he said they wanted me to do it again someday. Just don't say the word Bible. But no, I'm going to do that again. I enjoyed it, but it does make you kind of nervous to see all those missionaries there gathered up. Well, it couldn't have been that many. But you know what the little girl did? He said about 10 minutes into your sermon, the little girl said, Daddy, when is Papa going to let me speak? She wanted me to hush and let her speak. What did she say? I don't think so. I don't think that's what it said at all. But it was a good time. You can tell we had a good time with it. Anytime we get them on the phone and stuff, we have a good time there. All right, Matthew 28. We're talking about witnessing. And I think we do not do enough today in our churches. In the background of this passage is there's a lost and doomed world out there. There's a lost world out there, and Jesus says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, you probably know this by heart, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have an opportunity before us. It's your command to us to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that this time of the year we've got missionaries all over the world. Lord, we thank you for Kelly being back with us tonight and the trip that she had for this church going over there. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to bless her and the time that she had, and she'll share with us later. We just, Lord, lift her up. I know she's tired and weary. Lord, I pray also for all our missionaries, our churches over there that are in, some of them in serious troubles. Lord, we just pray that you'd lift them up and strengthen them that they may be able to stand against the devil. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right, he calls himself, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And the world stumbles in the darkness. The world stumbles all in the darkness, and he says that he wants us to go and preach, make disciples, telling them to repent and turn from their sinful ways. And he calls the church together. And the church is literally the salt. He speaks of the church being the salt of the earth, because this old world is rotten to the core. And this old rotten, decaying world must be preserved. And if it's going to be preserved, the church must reach out to the lost people. We must preach the word to the world. The world today is lost in many things. I believe the world is lost in goodness, in virtue, and it needs to be found, and it needs to be saved, and only one can do that is Jesus Christ. Now, you say you believe that, amen? We believe that the only chance this world has is for Christians to preach the word. Now, I wonder tonight if our actions speak louder than words. And if they do, since only 2% of people witness, what are we telling them? Simply telling them by the way we act, we don't believe what we say we believe. We say that Jesus is the only way that people may come to know Christ. But yet, by our actions and only 2% witnessing, we really don't show that by our actions. We pay lip service to the word, but that's all we do. There was a prisoner being led to be executed. And as he was being led to be executed, there was a priest going along beside him reading scripture. And the priest said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment." The prisoner reached over and grabbed him by the hand and said, "Listen, do you believe that?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And the prisoner said, "I don't believe it at all. But if I believed it, I would crawl on my hands and knees through glass to tell the world that Jesus saves." Now, folks, we need to get serious about witnessing the people. We need to get serious as a church about doing the work of God. Jesus says, and I preached on it a month or so ago, about two roads. There's one wide road that leads to destruction, and the Bible says many are there on that road. They're going off into eternal darkness, eternal punishment, not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then there's a narrow road, and the Bible says few that find that road. Now, if you look at that, I was just thinking about how many people are on that wide road? Some are down and out. Yes, they do go to hell. Poor people die and go to hell just like rich people die and go to hell. There's a rich. There's an up and in. Some of them live in mansions and driving BMWs and all of this kind of thing. They're on their way on that wide road. There's the educated that are on that road leading to eternal darkness. There's the uneducated on that road leading to eternal darkness. There's children on that road. I believe children are under God's care, and but at an age they are responsible. And we don't know what age that is, but listen, there's children, and that's the reason we have Vacation Bible School. That's the reason we have children's camp, so that we can teach them about Jesus Christ. Some are teenagers on that road. They're all going to eternal darkness, to death. And God says, we are the light of the world, and we must do everything we can. Whether it's sending missionaries over there, whether it's giving to Lottie Moon, or state missions, or Annie Armstrong, whatever we can to turn this thing around, we must do it. But you know what? I don't see many churches preparing like that. God's given the commission to individual churches here. Christ's commission to his disciples was the first and foremost a commission to his church. And his church is made up of individuals just like ours. You see, God adds to the body. God placed you here in this church for a purpose. It's no accident. You came here because God led you here, and he's not finished with you. He wants you to work. So many people join a church just to see what they can get out of it, and I believe we've got it all backwards. We ought to join the church because we've got a mission to do, and we fulfill that with each other, helping each other fulfill the Great Commission. And a church, what is it supposed to do? I believe it's to win the lost. I believe we ought to give to win the lost. I believe as a church we ought to disciple. It's very important that we disciple people once we get them to come to Christ. As little children, as adults, once you they ask Christ into the heart, let me tell you something. The devil has lost them. He can't harm them anymore. But let me tell you, he can ruin their testimony. And he can cause them to be silent witnesses or whatever. He can tear their life, try to fight their life and destroy their life so that they will not be useful for Christ. But we as a church must disciple them. That's the reason it's so important to come to Bible study. That's the reason we have youth directors. That's the reason we have people working in Awanas. That's the reason we have RAs and GAs and camps, to try to disciple these young minds and tell them, let me tell you something, if we do not do that, as the church does not do that, the world will. And the world feeds them all kinds of nonsense. The Bible says church's main mission is to make disciples and evangelize. I heard someone say everything we do is evangelism. And the truth of that is 99% of our time, our energy, our money is not evangelizing. It's ministering to ourselves. Isn't it sad that we minister to ourselves? Someone says, what do you do all week? Well, weeks go by. Sunday is three sermons a week. You visit the sick, you help lead the committees, you do this, you do that. And you know what? I sometimes say, you know what? I'm not reaching the lost like I should. I'll have to admit that. The churches don't win the lost, or ministers don't win the lost like they should. And you know why? The lost don't get men out of shape, and members do. If you don't come by and see me, well, I'm going to find me another church. And sadly, we spend our time fighting fires in the home front. Someone says we minister to the aquarium and never get out of it. You see, we need to spend our time doing the things God has called us to do as a church. It shouldn't matter. I tell people all the time, you know, it shouldn't matter if I come by to see you. I see you every Sunday. You should. You should be here. And if there's something in your life that you need, well, yeah, call on me. I'll be there. I don't think I've let too many of you down. I know sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. But we've got other ministers here that come by and visit. And, you know, I don't see that this church, I think this church is probably the best at doing what we do as any church around. Man, some don't even have ministers that will come at all. But the staff takes care of the members, and the Sunday school classes takes care of their classes. And I believe it's one big happy family, but that's not a church on mission obeying the Great Commission. You see? We've changed the go ye therefore and make disciples to come here and see our church. In every church I believe there is, that's what we work around. We try to make things so entertaining at our churches that we say, come here and see what we're doing. But that's not the going out, is it? That's not the evangelism that God has asked us to do. And let me tell you something. Come to church does not work. Why should a lost person want to come to our church when half the time 50% of the members don't come? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, our come to church method will never reach the lost people. That's been found out in the state of Texas. How can we expect them to come? You see, I don't really believe we do. We expect others to do all of that, and we just sit comfortably in our pews. But that's not the witness that Christ wants to our world. You know, we say we love the Bible. A lost person doesn't love the Word. They have very little to do with the Word. And if we say we love the Bible and never read it, do we really love it? We must go into the world. We must work hard to get people to come. We must visit. You have to go where they are. You have to befriend people. You have to work with people, get to know people, minister to their needs, you see, to ever get them to come to church. And then we're to go as individuals, not only as a church, but we're to go as individuals. There's really two great commissions to the church. One is to the church, go ye therefore, and the other is to the new convert, Jesus, when he talked to the demonic man and told him, says, listen, you go back to your home and to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you. And we read that, we read the scripture there, that man left and went. And all through Decapolis, he told people what Christ had done for him. Folks, that's what witnessing is. Literally, simply telling people what Jesus Christ has done in our life. I wonder how many's told somebody that this week. Don't answer, but just think about yourself. How many people have I told about Jesus Christ? How many conversations that I've got into this past week that I've talked about Jesus Christ with a lost person? Then how many people have I won this year for Jesus Christ? Every year I ask people, how many people have you won for Jesus Christ? Most of the time they can't say I've won a single person. Now over the years, I keep up with the records. Records are not so great, but I kind of look back and see. Since 1989, we've averaged about 30 a year being saved. That's not bad, but that's not good. We've lost a lot of people, and we've won a lot of people to Christ. But really, we ought to have more than that. But Jesus says, listen, we are to go tell people. And we need that visible witness in our life. You know what? Our life speaks louder than words, doesn't it? What you do every day speaks louder than what you say. And so many times, our lives are filled with the filth of the world. And so we need to get rid of the filth in our world, don't we? We need to get rid of it in our lives. But then we need to go the second mile. Not only do we get rid of the filth in our world, in our lives, but we are to radiate the love of Jesus Christ to lost people. Folks, people need someone to talk to. And we see people in trouble. We see people that need Christ. And we ought to be the first to run to the scene when somebody's lost that needs help. And so many times, we don't. We're not a witness to our world. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It makes people thirsty. Now, if you're around somebody and they're not thirsting for what you have, they do not see a difference in your life than theirs, something's wrong, isn't it? Think about it. Something's wrong in your life if you're not creating a desire or a thirst for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says you're the salt of the world, of the earth. That ought to make us want to know Jesus Christ. I was thinking about our missionaries over the, around the world, and I saw one today. Literally, that's what they were doing, making disciples, creating a desire. When they see your life, when they see that missionary's life and the happiness that's in there, and he tells them about Jesus Christ, they want that. They're looking for something that's not there. Someone says 30,000, I believe it was 30,000 a day or 30,000 a week are coming to Christ in China. Wonder why. They're so heavily guarded, they're so heavily depressed by the government or pressed on by the government that, yeah, they had a worship there last night. Only they say only 10 can come, because if there's more than 10 in a gathering, they're bound to be up to no good, and the government breaks it up. Man, what would we have tonight if our government stepped in here? Wouldn't have very many, would you? But the more they press the people, guess what? The more the church is pressured and persecuted, the more it explodes. The more they reach out. And we need that today, because we've got something that they desire. Found this little article, and I thought it was very funny. It says, do you know how to get a bone from a happy dog? No, for a hungry dog. You know how to get a bone from a hungry dog? Lay a steak down beside him. I sat there and I thought about that. I said, how do you get that bone? I've seen some dogs that chewing on that bone, and you try to get it, they ain't going to give it. Matter of fact, but someone says, you lay a steak down beside him, he'll turn loose that bone and grab that steak every time. I thought, you know, Christians are God's steaks. You put our lives down there and it make people drop. It ought to make people drop the filthiness of the world and turn to Christ. And then not only do we need a church and an individual, we need the vocal witness ourselves. Jesus says, go therefore and tell all nations, or teaching them to observe all things. Folks, go tell, all through the Bible, go tell, and then teach. We tell the gospel, and then we teach those who hear it. That's the individual way. And always point people to Christ. Don't tell them about your life. Tell them about Jesus. And I've thought, you know, I'm guilty there. I'm guilty. You know what we do? We usually start telling somebody that's lost, and then we end up telling them about our life and the things in our life, and we never get around to Jesus, do we? Some way we always kind of skip out on the Jesus part. But Christianity is what? Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ helping me. It's Christ helping you. It's Christ loving me. Christ loving you. And we need that witness. I like that old song. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Then we need a vicarious witness. Real evangelism is to preach the word. That's why Jesus says, listen, disciples, I want you to go into the city, and I want you to stay there until you receive power from on high. And you know what? They held a prayer meeting. And that prayer meeting lasted for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon them, and the Bible says thousands were saved by the preaching. And today we want to have preaching, but we don't want to pray. Now that doesn't work, does it? We want somebody to come in here and preach and bring revival. And we won't pray for it. But they prayed for 10 days. I know that soul winning is all God's work, folks. It's all God's work. The lost, the dead spiritually, can be raised. But you know, I can get people to walk the aisle, but that doesn't save them. I've had evangelists that get people walk the aisle, but only God can save them, folks. And I believe so many people today have walked the aisle that we have churches filled with unsaved people. Somebody's encouraged them to come down. The Bible says the things of God are literally nonsense to the natural man. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts men of sin and tells them they need salvation or shows them. And that's the reason as a church, we must pray, pray, and pray. I talked to the folks last night and said, you know, in Ephesians, we're to put on the whole armor of God. But all the armor of God does nothing unless it's energized by prayer. You see? Look down in verse 18 of that passage of Scripture. We must pray and pray and pray. We must live the life. We must say the words, but it's God who gives life to the words. You see, they're only words, but it's God who gives life. And that comes by the praying that the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit empowers our life. It empowers those words. And it says in verse 19, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, the Holy Spirit. Baptists get scared of the Holy Spirit today. Baptists are scared to raise their hands. Baptists are scared to get excited, seems like. But you know what? If that's what it takes to let people know that you're really praising God, it don't bother me at all. Because I'm willing to see that, be a witness in my world. Are you a witness tonight? Have you won anybody to Christ this year? Are you willing to? The year's almost over with. 2014 is just about gone. But we'll have an opportunity before this week's over to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. Men, it may be where you work. It may be somebody that you come in contact with along the way. Ladies, it may be in a grocery store. It may be with a lady at the checkout counter. But you'll have a opportunity somewhere to let your light so shine that you can say, listen, do you know Jesus Christ? And if they say yes, and they're sure of that, we'll say, praise God. But if they say, well, I don't really think so, just say, listen, I would like to share with you. And share with them. You have to do it quickly. You know, let them know that Jesus Christ loves them, that he died for them, and that they need to invite him in their life before it's too late. Invite them to church. You see, I don't like to just say come to our church, but invite them to church. And if you have to, say, listen, I'll pick you up. Whatever you can do to get them there. So tonight, let's be a witness in our world. Let people know that you're saved. Let your light so shine before men, and the person of the Holy Spirit will come out in you and give you the power to do his work. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, would you come to Christ? Would you come to him? He died for you. If you're here and you are saved, are you a witness in your world? You see, we say we believe the Bible, and yet 99% of the time, no one's won to Christ. It's sad to look at our churches. It's sad to look at all the churches that we have just in Henderson County that have a big zero by baptism. No one was won to Christ. They could have just easily shut the doors and kept their money and won the same amount. I sometimes wonder, what are we doing in our churches when we don't baptize anyone for years? Someone says, you know, they went to a church and looked in the baptistry and there's moss there. Been a long time since that church had won anybody to Christ. What are we doing? We need to think about that. If we're not doing anything, we ought to be a witness to our world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we'll witness to people, that we'll live our life so pleasing to you that you'll give us an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody this week. Lord, that we'll pray about giving to missions. And Lord, give that we might see the world come to know Jesus Christ before it's too late. We'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it.